Hello and hi, welcome to another Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and with me today is Lonnie Chavis, a up-and-coming young actor whose performances have been impressive in my book. And one of his recent feature performances was in the movie The Boy Behind the Door, a Shudder original that came out in July of 2021, which is finally coming out on Blu-ray, and I'm so excited about that. Lonnie, welcome.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Going to ask you a bunch of questions about The Boy Behind the Door, because for me, this was a really, really fun movie. I'm a huge fan of like psychological horrors, mind games, cat and mouse games, and this has a little bit of both. So how did you enjoy working on this film?
Well, I've never done a horror movie before, so this is my first horror movie, and it was different than other stuff I've done before, obviously, but I had a really fun time and everything went smoothly and I worked it out and I had a really great time with Ezra.
Yes, your co-star Ezra Dewey, it was impressive to me as well, just seeing two teenagers in an unfathomable situation, employing the resourcefulness, the cleverness, and stubbornness that teenagers are known for against a group of predators who really deserve what they get in the end. I'm not going to spoil anything, but that, you know, that kind of movie where you're tense the entire time and at the end you're like, yes, is just a lot of fun for me. And I had spoken to the directors, David Charbonnier and Justin Powell, last year when the movie first came out, and I dug into their brain about what they thought about the movie. So I want to get your opinions. What appealed to you about this role? What appealed to you about putting yourself, you know, acting wise, psychologically, in that sort of situation?
I feel like everybody acts entirely different way, but the way that I act, I have to pull emotions from pain, trauma, and loss that I've actually done with in real life. And when it came to this movie and acting with Bobby, there was a lot of screaming and kicking and crying that I had to do, so there was a lot of emotions to pull. It was definitely really hard, and I feel like maybe one of the best performances in my acting career yet. But working with everybody was definitely a pleasure, and if I could do it again, then I'd do it again.
I was impressed with how you saw the emotions, the confusion that Bobby had, trying to figure out what was going on, what was happening to his friend Kevin, and the determination is what hooked me in. This was more than just a ride or die friendship. This was your Bobby's best friend.
Brother.
Was not going to leave him at any cost. Definitely not going to let him become prey for these truly awful, evil people. And I connected with that. And I could not wait to see how it all turned out. And just the emotion, the connection that was between Bobby and Kevin was apparent there too. And I really, really enjoyed that.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Heartfelt.
So from this movie, is more horror, more thriller, more action, something you would look forward to doing in the future?
Oh yeah. I'd do it again if I could. This movie was, it was basically The Waterman, just with a lot of horror and a lot of more screaming. Basically, I mean, I'd do it again. I love horror. Horror, action, and drama are definitely my three favorite genres.
That is a line I never expected to hear. It's the Waterman with more screaming.
Yeah, I mean, it basically is. There was a lot of action, adventure, and kicking and stunts. I mean, just the Waterman with a lot of more screaming and crying.
For you in The Boy Behind the Door, what was there a most challenging aspect and a most fun aspect of what you guys were doing?
I feel like the fun aspect were only in the scenes where we didn't scream, kick, and cry. And the challenging aspects were in the scenes where we did kick, scream, and cry.
Did you have to do any preparation to get yourself to where you could cry?
I mean, I had to drink tea every day, if that's what you're looking for. I'm being serious. I drank tea every single day. I had to take cough drops. I was screaming. Me and Ezra were both screaming so much that we lost our voices in a week. And we had to do a whole month of filming. It was really, really hard to film, but it all went good in the end, and I really hope that you guys like it.
Like I said, I'm a big fan. Were there any movies, any favorites of yours that you kept in mind when you're trying to get to the core of what Bobby was going through?
Not really. Just stuff that I've gone through that I just rethink about. But there was one moment that I had to think about when she was swinging the axe on the door.
Yeah,
The Shining. that was a little thing from The Shining that I had to think about.
If you wanted to do another horror movie, what sort of theme or what sort of character would excite you the most?
I'd love to have superpowers. Oh my god. I'd love to be like a super villain or something. I'd love that. Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's pretty much it. I mean, that's every kid's dream. I'd love to have superpowers and be a supervillain.
Nice. Most kids want to be like the superhero fighting the supervillain. You're like, no. I want to take the
I want to be the villain. You know how good of a villain I'd be?
Give me an example. Pitch me a villain.
I got you. Ready? A villain with, oh, wait. Matter of fact, an evil Superman, basically. I could be an evil Superman. Come on. Who's also black. Like, come on.
Okay. All right. That sounds like something you should write.
Exactly.
Find somebody who's already written an evil black Superman in the
comics. Exactly. I'm going to write a whole thing after this.
Yeah. The indie comics world has plenty of really exciting supervillains. We should find something for you.
Yes, ma'am.
Are you working on anything in particular right now that you can talk about?
Right now, no, but I do have some coming out with Marcus Scribner, Cedric the Entertainer, and Method Man that you guys are going to like.
Nice, nice. Can you talk about it yet?
No, ma'am. Oh. You guys are just going to have to wait.
Oh, I really enjoy some of the stuff that Method Man has done, so I will keep an eye out for that. Oh my goodness. So what have you been doing in between your projects?
Trying to rehearse the scripts, man. Mostly trying to rehearse the scripts and mostly trying to make sure that I have my acting game still, because I haven't filmed anything for a quick little second. So I'm just trying to keep my acting skills up for when I do film something again.
What do you do to keep your mind on your downtime, to really like just chill out and refresh yourself to study those scripts?
To study them?
No, what do you do to like cool down, chill out, and refresh yourself before you jump back in again?
Take a nap. I take a nap or watch movies.
Okay. What kind of movies help you get into that chill zone?
Disney. Oh my god, I love watching Disney movies. I'm being dead serious. This is not a lie. I watched like 5 Disney movies before I did Boy Behind the Door. I rewatched Princess and the Frog and a bunch of other Disney movies. I like being happy before I get into like a deep state. Same thing with The Waterman.
Wow. And I would imagine that that would have been the reverse. Right? You go to that happy spot after you're done, but you prepare yourself to take on that darkness, that hard role by being happy first.
Yeah, it's really hard. I mean, you don't want to be too deep into the mindset of Bobby. It's dark.
Yeah.
That's why me and Ezra always made some jokes every now and then and just joked around during takes.
What was the silliest thing you guys did? Because there is a blooper reel on the on the Blu-ray.
Oh my God, there is?
Yes.
I didn't even know that. Wait, have you seen it yet?
I saw like the first little bit of it. I haven't dived deeply into it, but I was, since you didn't even know there was one, I can't ask you what was the funniest one.
No, you can ask. I know. It's just, I had no clue there was a blooper reel. Oh my God, I need to see that. That's crazy. I'm going to watch that later. But the silliest thing, I don't know if somebody, I think somebody recorded it. I don't know if they put in a blooper reel though, because it doesn't really count as a blooper. Because it was during lunch. The stunt guy, he brought us these little laser alien type of like gun thingies, and we played with them throughout our whole lunch. I don't even remember if I ate lunch or not that day. It's really fun.
So you guys had these little like figurine toys playing with them?
Yeah, we were acting like little 5-year-old kids, and we were just playing tag around the whole set. It was pretty funny.
That's awesome.
I don't know if it's in, because I don't know if it's in the blooper reel, but there was one time where, I don't remember if it was me or him screaming, but we had like a really bad voice crack and we just started bursting out laughing. It was really funny. We were screaming like, Mommy! It was super funny. I don't know if it's in the blooper reel. I got to check it out later.
Oh my goodness. That's awesome. That's awesome. So what for you, if you were to write or direct your own horror movie, what would you want most to get done, to get accomplished?
I want people to be scared. That sounds like a bad thing, but you know what I mean. When you were watching Boy Behind the Door, you were scared, yeah?
In a few moments, I was afraid for both Bobby and Kevin.
Yeah, exactly. See what I mean? I want people to be scared. I want my job to be completed.
Do you like thrillers where the adversary is a person, or do you like monster movies?
Oh, man. I really like realistic thriller movies or realistic horror movies because it could actually happen.
Any monsters that are your favorite?
I don't really like monsters like that, but if I had to pick one, it would probably be I can't even choose. I don't know what I'm about to say. I have no clue what I'm about to say.
Well, okay. What sort of minions would evil Superman have?
What sort of minions?
Yeah. An evil overlord has to have minions. Even if he has his own superpowers, he has to have minions to do the work he doesn't cover. So
that is true. Look at Groove and Despicable Me.
He got to have minions. So what exactly kind of minions would your evil Superman have?
Let's see. If I could, I'd honestly have zombies for minions, if I'm being honest.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, if I was like, let's see. If I was the type of super, super villain that's like smart and knows how to work with potions and all that, I'm going to have zombies because I can make them smarter. I'm having zombies.
Would they be fast or slow?
Oh, definitely fast. Definitely fast.
And your potions would probably come up with a way to have them decay slower so they stay around and keep their mental faculties?
Yes, ma'am.
Nice.
Thank you.
Very nice. Very nice. So we have Superman villain.
Superman villain. We have zombie minions.
Oh, we have an someone who is an alchemical genius, a chemistry genius, to make up these potions. Now, exactly. would you make the zombies, or would you just like go out collecting them from wherever they appeared?
I think I just collect them from wherever they appeared, and I just take them back to my lab, try not to get bitten. First, try not to get bitten, and then I think I'm going to just make them smarter so they know how to, like, they know what I'm saying. They don't have to respond, they just know what I'm saying. Like, what if I told one of them to give me a Sprite or something? Like,
You realize that there's a potential here for an absolutely marvelous head fake. You'd be going around the world collecting these zombies. Everybody thinks you're a good guy because you're getting these zombies away from the people, and then like a year later you have your own army of zombies and you attack people.
I just have a
people.
Whole army and I just come
and
back.
The people would be confused. They wouldn't know what's going on. They're like, wait, I thought he was a good guy. And you're sitting there going, nope. Oh, this movie needs to be written. Oh my goodness. You know, it would be better if it was animated.
Oh, yeah. It should be animated. It should be a whole cartoon. That would be sick.
That'd be awesome. That'd be
this
awesome.
Is like one of the coolest. I don't even know if this is this even an interview anymore? It's just a conversation now. Like, we're just having conversations now.
Always a conversation. I like finding out what people enjoy, because you sat there and made something that I enjoyed. I want to find out what you enjoyed and how you're going to bring that to whatever you make next, because, you know, I want to watch this now.
Now I'm actually, maybe I should actually make a movie about this. Who knows? I might actually just start writing about this.
There you go. I love it. So you can't talk about any upcoming projects you have. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to say go enjoy the rest of your afternoon. Definitely think about writing that Superman zombie army movie, because now I'm intrigued, and I do know people who write comic books, and I'm like, I know you guys are busy with your own stuff, but what do you think about this? Interesting. Now you got me on a roll mentally. Lonnie Chavis, thank you.
Thank you so
much for your time today, your energy, your enthusiasm. And I'm glad I got to tell you that there's a blooper reel on the Blu-ray for The Boy Behind the Door.
Mm-hmm. It's on DVD and on Blu-ray and mm-hmm. on demand, so everybody can watch it and yes. see the blooper reel that I'm hearing about.
Available March 15th from your nearest retailer. And definitely go check it out, because it is, if you enjoy thrillers, suspenseful movies with people in peril using their resourcefulness and loyalty and friendship to overcome the obstacles that are continually thrown in their paths, I highly recommend, again, The Boy Behind the Door. Lonnie, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this. Hi, welcome back to more Slice of Sci-Fi. I'm Summer Brooks, and with me now is Ezra Dewey, the other intrepid lead from The Boy Behind the Door, Shudder's original film from 2021, which is now available on DVD, Blu-ray, digital, and all sorts of platforms for you to enjoy. And I think you will enjoy it, because I did. I thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed this movie. Everyone knows I'm a fan of psychological horror, and it is a treat now to be talking to the two young men who made it happen. Hi, Ezra.
Hi, how are you?
Awesome, awesome. So tell us about your experience making The Boy Behind the Door. Your portrayal of Kevin for me was rather harrowing. So how about you? What were you expecting when you started making this, and what did you end up enjoying the most about it?
Okay. So it was definitely a lot cooler and more than what I was expecting. I was expecting it to be kind of, you know, like The Djinn, because that was the only prior experience I'd had. But It was a lot cooler. It was a lot bigger. There was more people. It was a bigger house, obviously. My favorite part was probably the whole, mostly the whole experience, like getting to meet everybody, because everybody there was super cool, like really hardworking and nice people. You could pretty much ask anyone anything and they'd give you a good answer. You know, they were all nice. But my favorite, the most favorite part was probably the whole sequence in the woods, because it was just awesome. Like, it was super big, like all the machines and the vehicles and all the lights that they were using. It was just super surreal. Yeah, that was my favorite part. And just, you know, being around everybody and like making a movie was just amazing in general.
Are you a fan of horror?
I am more of a fan of horror now. I was before, I was never like, you know, crazy into it, because I was scared, I'm not gonna lie. But I'm definitely more into, you know, like watching a horror film. You know, I think they're pretty cool now that I've like, you know, been in one, obviously. Kind of biased now, but
I understand. I like I said, I'm a fan of thrillers and psychological horrors where the games are played with your emotions and your mind. And this one, the friendship, the bond between Kevin and Bobby really came across as genuine to me. Mm-hmm. And it made Lonnie's portrayal of Bobby doing his level best to save his friend, to save his, yep, his brother, so to speak, was really, really important. And seeing you trying to understand what's about to happen, what could happen, and knowing that your friend is out there trying to save you is that one thread of hope that, yeah, Kevin is holding on to. And that was, for me, that was fun to watch. So you two did an awesome, awesome job with that.
Thank you.
Were there any things that you took from, like, was there any instructions from the directors about how to get to that place with Kevin?
A lot of it, of the directions, they were pretty nice. Like, they always said that they were like, we didn't really have any notes or anything. You didn't really do anything wrong. They just would have us try it, you know, a couple of different ways. But one thing that they would say is, because they do like their crying, so they're like, I'm sorry, but we need more tears. And yeah, that was really only notes. And the directions. Yep. Their directions, they're super good. Like, even though they haven't done a whole lot of films or anything, they're very professional. Like, they know what they were doing. Like, since they wrote it and they're directing it, like, they knew exactly what they wanted. They got it really clear. Their directions were awesome. They're super nice. They're super easy to work with.
Talk about the many, many takes with the screaming.
Okay. Yeah. The screaming. I think we didn't do the scream parts. We got pretty quickly. But sometimes, you know, you got to get it, you know, just right. The screaming's got to be just right, so it gets the feeling across. But yeah, there was a couple times where, like, I would be doing like a quieter line and my voice would just cut out because I had been screaming the previous hour. So yeah, it was pretty tiring. It was fun though.
Cool. What for you was the most fun in the movie? Like, any particular sequence, any particular action scene?
I liked, like I said, the whole woods, like, hide and seek feel. But I also really liked the shock collar scene. That was pretty cool.
Really?
And yeah. Because I was like, oh, I gotta go push through and save my friend because he's out there, you know, like dying on the road or something. Yeah, I like that one. That was one of the more physical scenes that I got to do. And I also liked a scene that has to do with the taser. So
we won't spoil that one at all.
Yeah, I won't say anything else about that one. That one is something people should look forward to because that is a very big turning point.
Yes, there are some delightful scenes where our bad guys get what they deserve.
Yes.
And in very satisfyingly cathartic ways.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. But like I said, I really, really enjoyed this movie just because of the tension, just because of the emotional connection, you know, the two friends have and how that pulls both of them through in their own separate ways. What type of future horror films would you like to do?
Honestly, I do like the whole thriller and, you know, horror genre. I like those, but I'm honestly open to, you know, really any type of horror movie, as long as it's not like, you know, super crazy cheesy, but you know, I'm okay with doing any horror film, actually.
Horror action or horror comedy? What's more speed?
I'm horror action, I'd say. I'm not the greatest at comedy. I need some work on that, but I could probably do it. I could pull it off.
Cool. Have you been looking for other horror projects, or are you just right now just open to anything just to get more work done?
Yeah, I'm just trying to, you know, book something, you know. It's tough.
Are you working on anything right now that you can talk about?
No. Right now I'm just auditioning. You know, I've done a couple like photo shoots, but no, not a lot of acting jobs.
Bummer. That's
yeah,
I feel for you because like I said, I had a lot of fun watching you and Lonnie in that film, and I'm looking forward to seeing more of what you can do as well. Lonnie had mentioned wanting to play an evil superpowered supervillain.
Oh,
someday. And how that that came about. From some of the, I'm going to say, non-produced scenes.
Oh.
outtakes.
Yeah.
How about you? What would be your ideal either superhero or supervillain role?
Yeah, I would be super stoked to be a villain in something because when I was shooting the movies with Justin and David, I was like, hey, if you're ever considering doing another movie with me, you should make me the villain or do something, you know, like try and pull that off. But yeah, I think being a villain would be super fun. But yeah, I do want to do, you know, maybe an action or something like that. Cause I always love those movies.
Do you have any favorites that are your go-to movies? Something is like, yeah, I want to do something like this.
Right now, I would like to do something like maybe The Quiet Place I have recently like seen like the new Top Guns coming out, and I watched the old one again, and I was like, ooh. I'd do that for sure. That looks super cool. I want to do that. That would be awesome. I would die to do one of those movies.
Well, we'll keep that on our wish list for you. What else do you do to prepare for a role? Did you do any special like pre-filming work for The Boy Behind the Door?
Basically, my practice was the gin, which is kind of funny. Because it was the only like experience that I got to have prior to The Boy Behind the Door, which was that whole movie. But that definitely helped me a lot. I definitely would have not done as good if I hadn't done the gym. But yeah. But also, like I said before, just like I thought about, you know, I thought about like, you know, sad things to help me get into character. I didn't really take any, you know, classes on like how to prepare for a scary role or cry or something like that.
I think Boy Behind the Door itself would be a master class on crying.
Yeah. More crying. We need more crying.
Awesome. So what else do you do to I get to fill your time in between jobs?
Well, it was I was playing football. I'm playing high school football right now. The season's over, but I did that. I am a gamer. I do play games, kind of basic. I surf, yeah, and I'm in school, obviously, so that takes a lot of my time. But I'm just auditioning, doing print jobs, just doing whatever, kind of just going with the flow, I guess.
Are you hoping for any particular role, or are you just going after whatever comes across your desk?
Yeah, pretty much, whatever. Small, big, you know, I'm just trying to get whatever I can, pretty much.
Well, I hope that you get something soon, because like I said, I really enjoyed the performance here in this movie. And like this list, honestly, this was one of my favorite movies of all of last year. And
wow,
I have told people you have to find this movie because it is a very tense, very, it's a spectacle, but in a small way. And I like how the claustrophobic feeling that you guys were working in worked for the movie. And I had interviewed Justin and David last year, and I'm so, so thankful to get to talk to you and Lonnie as well.
Nice. I'm glad. Well,
I hope that you get a role very, very soon so we can see more of you at work. But thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you so much, Ezra, for your time today. Do you play any of your games on Twitch by chance?
Not right now, but my dad was telling me that it might be a good idea because, you know, some of my fans could come watch me.
There you go.
See what I'm doing, you know?
There you go. I know a lot of people have jumped on Twitch with their gaming streams, and people love watching the gaming streams. I'm like, you know, there's something there.
Yeah, I might have to try it.
Well, we will keep an eye out for that. Ezra Dewey plays Kevin in The Boy Behind the Door, out now from Shudder and RLJE, available on Blu-ray, DVD, digital HD, video on demand. Go check it out. I highly recommend it. Once again, Ezra, thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
And we'll be back with more Slice of Sci-Fi right after this.
Hi, I'm Laura Perlman, editor of Cat's Cast, the monthly feline fiction podcast that actually exists. You may be familiar with the April Fool's versions of Cat's Cast that have come out over the last 2 years, but this is no joke. Starting in April, we'll be putting out an episode every month for the next year, at least. If you're an Escape Artist supporter on Patreon, the best way to listen to Cat's Cast is on the Escape Artist Premium Content podcast feed. If you don't already have that in your podcatcher, you can find it under the My Membership tab at the EA Patreon. If you're not an EA patron, you can listen on our public feed, but we're only sharing half the episodes there. You can find more details at escapeartists.net/catscast. Now here's a preview of episode 1, The Cat Lady and the Petitioner by Jennifer Hudak, which will go live everywhere on April 1st.
The fact that Bob can speak is strange, but now that Lori is standing at the top of the playground structure, she begins to realize that there are far more unsettling things in the universe. The hole leading to nothing, for example, that's right behind Bob. It's not really a hole. Lori's mind labels it as such because when faced with something which defies all description, the mind will force it to fit somewhere. Hole is as close to an analog as Lori's mind can come up with. What it is, in fact, is a loosening, a thin place in the membrane between universes, where the fabric is worn like jeans over kneecaps, and the threads weaving everything together have begun to pull apart. Lori could not possibly know this, but the cat lady does. Her house sits upon one of those thin places. It's been her job, through each of her 9 lives, to guard it. Hers and the cat's. A long time ago, when she was young and frisky and new, it was a dangerous place, with universes threatening to burst through at all hours. Not all universes have soft blankets and cups of tea and catnip and windowsills that warm in the sun.
Hi, this is Barbara Crampton, and you're listening to Slice of Sci-Fi. Ooh, scary.
And once again, my thanks to both Lonnie Chavis and Ezra Dewey. As I said several times during the interview, Boy Behind the Door was one of my favorite movies that came out last year. And I do recommend it to people who are more fans of a psychological suspense sort of horror thriller. And again, it is out now on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital. Currently, this past Tuesday, March 15th. Yes, that's when it was available. And it's even got the big certified fresh Rotten Tomatoes label on it. So go check out this Blu-ray. And how about you? Psychological thrillers are in your wheelhouse or not? Let me know. Give us a call. The number is 602-635-6976. Or shoot me an email, summer@sliceofscifi.com. You can also find me on Twitter, @SliceOfSciFi. I'll get into conversations over there. And of course, there's the website, SliceOfSciFi.com, where you can leave a comment in the discussion section for this episode and all of the others. You can listen to Slice of Sci-Fi through Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Podcasts, TuneIn, Player FM, and iHeartRadio. And if you're listening on Apple or Stitcher, please consider leaving us a review. Let people know you are enjoying the interviews here, the show here, and let folks know they should check it out for themselves. Oh, that's right, Podchaser. You can also leave a review or a rating over at Podchaser. I'd like to thank everyone who is currently helping to support Slice of Sci-Fi and all of the other podcasts and websites in the Slice of Sci-Fi universe. Your donations, your pledges really do help keep things going around here. So for that, I thank you profusely. If you'd like to add your support, place to go is patreon.com/sliceofscifi. You can sign up for a tier. Many different tiers over there, and become eligible for perks. Every month I pick a winner out of the hat out of the email hat, and that person gets to choose from a DVD, a Blu-ray, a 4K, or a book. The review materials I get for Slice of Sci-Fi and Writers After Dark, I really can't keep all of it. So, first chance at the swag goes to our supporters, patrons, listeners, and friends. If you'd like to add your support, the place to go is patreon.com/sliceofsci-fi. Or if you would just like to donate, the link to use is paypal.me/sci-fi-summer. And obviously, I really am still trying to link things, find out how to link things through Ko-fi. ko-fi.com/sliceofsci-fi. And that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back with more Slices Sci-Fi next week. Take care.